are, as always, taking your phone calls at 812-333-2665. Not a great few days for the Hoosiers of Archie Miller since we were last on the air Wednesday night. We signed off leading up to a 9 o'clock tip in Champaign. I guess technically it's Urbana, but whatever, over there. In the other former Assembly Hall, Hoosiers went down 73-71 to the Illini, but then had a chance against the number 3 ranked Boilermakers. Purdue came to town on Sunday, and the Hoosiers in for the fight on national television, but unable to make the plays down the stretch, and Purdue and several veterans on that team were able to do so. 74-67 was the final. Not a great couple days, couple games there for the Hoosiers, losing to the winless Illini. But Purdue, number 3 ranked, I suppose this is not a huge surprise, but Glass, it's still Purdue. It's still the Big Ten. I mean, there's never going to be an acceptable and fun, enjoyable, and okay loss to the Boilermakers. But I think at the very least you have to look at I think you have to at least look at the way they fought throughout 37 minutes of this game. Does it mean anything right now? No, it doesn't. Does it mean anything long term? I don't know. I mean, this is a senior laden team. It's got a pair of senior guards, and for two straight games, we saw senior guards not be able to make plays down the stretch. Now, Robert Johnson's on a pretty good streak here, generally speaking, of putting the ball in the basket, and he does a pretty good job rebounding. But there's some plays where both of them weren't making plays in both of these games down the stretch that really cost them. And, you know, thought that Archie Miller was getting some senior guards that will help him through this transition. And at every stretch, they seem to come up just a little bit short on helping him out as much as he needs.
The tough part is, obviously, there's multifacets to each game that determine the outcome of it. You can first half, second halves, down the stretch, all of that. When you add it all up at the end of the day, that's the toughest part. And Indiana's checklist, as we've talked over the last few years, has to be pretty good at the end of the day. You've got to win, you know, usually about 8 of those 10 categories, and Indiana has been doing a really good job in some of them, and others they haven't been. And some of that is due to the construct of the roster, and some of it has to do with performance? Yeah, it is. I think maybe it's consistency, because besides Juwan Morgan's worst game of the year, besides the game he got hurt, that's a tough one to kind of land him, because he didn't get all 40 minutes to have a chance to rectify maybe not his best first half. His worst game in the league that I remember is 14-6 against Wisconsin.
Yeah, he's been phenomenal.
And if that's his his worst game, and we've got to nitpick on that, well, that's part of it. But other than that, the consistency through players 2 through 12 who have been in the game and had chances to perform just haven't, sadly, brought it every single night. And you say, well, you know what? That's hard to do. You're right. It's very hard to do. And when the roster is put together the way it is and the pieces that they have, those players that play the most minutes are expected to do the most, because there aren't the options you can bring in and say, well, let's give this kid 25 minutes to see if it works. Let's give him 20 minutes to see. It doesn't. And that's the tough part right now, because when you go back, and I don't know if you want to start chronologically, you want to start with Purdue, it doesn't matter. You get to the foul line 29 times on the road and shoot 57%. You tell me that before the game starts, I'm going to say you're going to win, I don't know, 95 out of 100 of those. Those are numbers that are key.
Yeah, that's a
when
lot.
You're on the road. And,
but you got to make them.
But you have to make them. You know Illinois is helter-skelter a little bit on defense, so you know you're going to have to limit some turnovers and do all that. But Indiana, the one thing that we've learned just over the course of time, and it's not a surprise to a lot of people that follow the game, is this wasn't going to be a premium shooting basketball team, and mm-hmm. I think that just hasn't been the case. And what I mean from that, you say, well, Glassie just shot 57%. What do you mean they're not a premium shooting team? From three-point land, and that is such a huge part in today's game, that Indiana's defense on the three-point line was excellent against Illinois, 4 of 15. It was excellent against Purdue, 5 of 18?
Yeah, and Purdue shoots 44%. I mean, they're one of the best in the nation. Yeah.
And Illinois is not a very good shooting team, so you didn't let them have that as a bonus to what they what they normally do. So what has been a severe weakness for Indiana – defending the three-point line, as we've known all year, they overcome that in a game on the road. They get to the foul line 29 times. They shoot 25 of 44 from the field, and they can't come out of there with the win. And that's the tough part, because they didn't get those three, four, five guys a consistent effort. It mm-hmm. seems like every time we talk about when Indiana is winning, five wins in the league, that's not terrible. Don't get me wrong.
Not at all.
It usually has a good balance to it. The one exception was the big night where Johnson and Morgan scored all the points. And was it Johnson and Morgan? We said, hey, if you're going to try to rely on that every night, that's not going to work. You need to have other players come along. Well, that's exactly what we're talking about. In the Illinois game, Juwan Morgan was fantastic. He made 12 of 14 shots. He grabbed 9 rebounds. What more do you want the kid to do? He played 31 minutes after playing 36 just a couple nights before on Monday night against Maryland.
Yeah.
He scored 20 points 3 games in a row in the Big Ten. He did it against
– 1 week.
He did it against first place, last place, and a team that was fifth or sixth.
Yeah.
You name the competition, he's done it. He has been the exception to the rule, and that's been the tough part. You mentioned the guard play. You get help from Josh McRoberts, has a career high in 10 in the first half at Illinois.
Yep.
He's a guy that's not giving you any points, so when he gives you 10, that's a huge lift. So if you're looking at these things from afar and you say, well, geez, that should be a way to win, that's what makes it tough when Indiana couldn't get it done in the second half. And when everybody doesn't play well, Indiana doesn't have Isaac Haas to throw the ball into get 26 or 24. Along with Vince Edwards is 19, along with Carson Edwards 18, along with Ryan Clark. That's why Purdue's really good.
I think
that's the compare and contrast here.
And I think that's the one good thing you can take about the Purdue game. And again, I don't want to harp on great things when you're losing to Purdue, because I just don't feel it. But at minimum, you are talking about one of the best teams, at least the way they're playing right now in the nation, and it's not even close. I don't know too many better right this minute. Will they be that way in the tournament, you know, and be a Final Four team? I mean, they're talented enough.
Sure.
But right now they're playing as well as anybody else in the nation.
Well, I don't think that's unfair.
Illinois, on the other hand, I mean, there's uniqueness to Illinois, you know, and I think what people have to understand about this Indiana team is you're a lot closer. And I think this week, the last few days, finally bared it out. The team is, in fact, a lot closer to Illinois than it is to Purdue right now. No, it's just right now. It's just this team right now. You mentioned the makeup. You got to play with the guys that you got out there.
And that's the other issue and it's part of it.
Yeah, and you're having to put a couple freshmen out there for significant minutes. And, you know, they're always going to be up and down anyways. You put a guy out there who, as you mentioned, in McRoberts, who's not a scoring threat most nights, and he's playing 30, 35 minutes a night. And he'll hustle. He'll bust his butt, get all over the floor.
Stop other guys from scoring as good as scoring in some situations.
I mean, he'll earn some stuff there. But, I mean, if you want to be a Final Four team, there's not a whole lot of spots out there for a guy who's not a weapon of any kind. There just aren't. I mean, if you look at the last 20 years worth of teams that get to the Final Four, they're usually really, really well-rounded and deep.
And
this team is not.
And I don't think anybody picked them to be in the Final Four or even in the top half or the top, what, six of the Big Ten. I think Indiana's prediction was around 9, 10, or 11. So they're playing – they're doing some really good things at times. They're pretty good finding decent shots. That has gotten a lot better as the season's gone on. They have limited turnovers for the most part. Situational turnovers is a completely different thing. We made a big deal, at least I made a big deal on Wednesday night, of, hey, if you're in a close game, Indiana's 4-0 and games decided by 5 points or less.
Yeah.
This team doesn't give up. That's the thing that you're not worrying about. This team's not sitting around down 5 or 6 with 5 minutes to go and then end up getting beat by 15.
No, they did a couple times early in the season to really bad teams.
They did.
But they have not in here in a Big Ten season.
And I think that was our part of our conversation on Wednesday, that it is improving. It is moving in a correct direction. Mm-hmm. But I think the Illinois game was tough for two reasons. Number one, the quick turnaround on the road. We talked about that last Wednesday. Yeah. Illinois had a quicker turnaround, but they were at home. They didn't have to go anywhere. And that's something. And Indiana has a quick turnaround again tomorrow night at Ohio State, the second best team in the league after playing the first best. And guess where that game is?
So that's twice, one day rest on the road after playing
three of those. Yeah. They've had 3 1 day rest. They have one more, I think it is, or did I miss the other one? There's 3 of them, because I know they've been making a big deal about that, and it's fair, because that's what it is.
Yeah, Michigan State coming up on Saturday, and then Rutgers on Monday.
There you go. So that's,
and that's another one on the road,
that's
Rutgers.
3 in 4 weeks. So, that's part of it. It doesn't help when Colin Hartman can't play. It doesn't help when you get when you don't have all your pieces firing, and Indiana's roster is a little bit limited right now onto what they can and can't do. And you saw kind of the problems they had with Michigan State because, well, you didn't have Teron Davis or Juwan Morgan in an entire half of that. But in winning time, Indiana had been pretty good here recently, taking care of things they had taken care of. They made a great comeback. They were down 8-0, or they were down 8 with what? A minute 20 to go at Illinois, mm-hmm. and had the ball with a chance to tie with 8 seconds left to go, four seconds left to go, whatever
it was.
And
a great look. I mean, Juwan Morgan, 10 feet from the basket.
That's a bad pass, and that's what it was. And you had Johnson open on the other side, too, so there's mm-hmm. a couple things there. So the execution in that time, does that mean it's bad basketball? No. Does that mean that one play hurt you? No. You don't want to be down 8 with a minute 20 to go. There's other things that led up to that that hurt. And when Indiana doesn't fire on all cylinders, I don't think you'll ever see this team win this year when Robert Johnson scores 2 second-half points. It just won't happen mm-hmm. because there's not as many volume scorers or shooters to pick
there's
up
not
that
other
slack.
There's not other options.
Right. Johnson hit 2 threes in the first half against Illinois and had 8 points. So he had 2 points in the second half and played 36 minutes for the game and didn't get to the foul line. And so that means, you know, Illinois has nice guards, but they're not – on Purdue's level of guards, and Johnson had 21. So you've got to figure out a way to bring it every night, and that's the hardest thing to do. That consistency level is the reason why maybe Indiana doesn't have 7 conference wins. They only have 5 conference wins. And when you take that all into consideration, it's always tough when you lose to a team with 0 losses, but I think any coach will tell you, Izzo told you that. You can talk to some other people that played. I think even McCaffrey laughed after their game. Iowa only had 1 win before they beat Illinois there. What was that, 104-97 and something overtime?
Well, what was Izzo's joke? That this is the best 0-18 in the world. I mean, we don't want to sugarcoat a loss on the road to Illinois.
No, but they're playing at home.
But yeah.
They've got things that they've got this game circled there as well.
The Big Ten has a difficult bottom of their league. They do. And, you know, the problem I think that Indiana fans may have gotten into is they may have thought they were in the top half of the league. And that's, you know, look, nobody wants to accept that maybe we're in the bottom half of the league and we're just heading that direction now because we finally reached the toughest part of our schedule. They're 1-3 on this, or 1-3 so far on this toughest part of the schedule with several more games to go. But Michigan State beat Maryland, Illinois, and Purdue. Now you got to go to Ohio State, come home again against Michigan State, and then go to Rutgers.
That's not easy.
That's a tough stretch in 18 days,
that's
7
not
games,
easy.
And they're 1-3 right
now. And the problem with this is, and I talked about the roster construction, is they don't have anybody that can get them easy baskets. Juwan Morgan makes it look easy. He's doing stuff Thomas Bryant and OG haven't dreamed about doing. He gets no national credit for this. I don't know why that is. I guess we haven't gone out and solicited all the national writers on this.
There's more talented players in the Big Ten right now. I'm not sure who's more valuable to his team, and he's well-rounded.
He had a bad shooting night going 10 of 18. What's that, about 56%?
Yeah, I mean, it's fantastic. He's been fantastic, and against Illinois, he was coming from outside. Against Maryland, he was taking people off the dribble.
You name it.
I mean, yeah.
He brings it every night. And then you say, well, he only hit 3 of 8 free throws. Yeah, you're right. He did. He missed 5 free throws. And they missed 8 other free throws on the night. So you get those opportunities and you don't take advantage. I think that's what makes it frustrating, because there were multiple opportunities where Indiana, each team went 7 minutes without a basket from like the 14 minute mark to the mm-hmm. 7 minute mark or whatever it was. So your defense is there, it's doing what it needs to do to some degree, and you're just not firing it because you don't have enough points. And the point is, when you don't have guys that can throw in 3-pointers. I mean, Purdue last night, why was Indiana scrambling on the perimeter all day running at guys? Because they have guys all can make
they
them.
They can shoot. They shoot 44% as a team.
Guys can make them.
It's near tops, if not tops, in the nation. It's unbelievable. And they did a good job against it.
And Indiana hits 5 of 15 against Illinois, and Josh McRoberts hits 2 of 4.
Yeah.
Is that right? That is
right.
That's right. I'm looking
at
right now.
In the first half, he didn't score in the second half.
And you've got to find other ways to get to it. If you get to the foul line, you have to convert there. Why? It's kind of like a turnover. Archie Miller said that. If you go to the foul line and miss two, you haven't scored.
You didn't score.
So
you gave the ball back.
That's not, and you gave him the ball back with nothing in that same thing. That's what makes it tough, because Indiana can hit you with 3 straight twos, and that's 2 3-pointers for P.J. Thompson and Dakota Mathias. Mm-hmm. It's just how you don't have to work as hard to get that far. And the point is, when was the last big three-point game they had? You can go dig one up. There's going to be one or two because they do have kids that can make them.
They had 12 in one earlier this season, but I mean, it's the outlier. You're exactly right.
It's the outlier. It's the exception to the rule. And then when you do all that hard work to get to the free throw line, look, Illinois missed 9 free throws. Indiana missed 13. Somewhere, you know, get half of those misses in there. We're not asking you to be perfect, but that's the tough part. And in getting after it defensively, getting after it, I don't have any problem with their effort and how hard they play.
No,
zero.
You know what? The Purdue game was a good game. You know it was a good, solid, physical game.
With about 6 minutes to go in the first half, there were 3 fouls and 1 turnover.
Yeah.
It just was good basketball.
I was a little afraid the second half was going to be a whistle fest. And it didn't.
They tried.
They didn't turn out quite that way. I mean, they had a couple weird ones in there. But it was a well-played game, and it was tough defense, and they were going at each other. And you know, again, Indiana defended the three-point line, which we all know they had to do. Isaac Haas is a matchup. I mean, that kind of player is a huge matchup problem for this roster.
And he's a matchup problem for a lot of players. Go ask Michigan how they matched up with Moritz Wagner, 6'9 or 6'10. They had the other kid at 7 foot that comes off the bench. I think Haas had 26 in that game.
And let's
he's
give
a
the kid
player.
Credit. I mean, like Morgan is developed, and you see the development on all over the floor. I mean, Haas was going both shoulders. Well, he's spinning. I mean,
the
he's
thing that
the kid's
would,
a
Haas
player.
Kills you too, and Eric did a good job of bringing this up. What's a 7 foot two guy shooting 74, 75, 77% from the line?
Yeah, exactly right.
So if you want to foul him and think, hey, we're just going to, you know, have him go up there and
hack
a Shaq, and he goes up there and makes, what, 8 for 8 when it was all said and done? So he's not a liability anymore. But the tough part of the Illinois game was there's only about 2 guys on Illinois going to kill you.
Yeah.
Black and Frazier, and guess who are the 2 guys that got you?
Yep, exactly
Black
right.
and Frazier. Kipper Nichols had a career game against Michigan State before that. Here's the point, though. They get contributions from a couple of guys that don't give them contributions all the time.
Mm-hmm.
They get 12, 11, 4, and 2 off their bench. I can't add that up quickly. It sounds like 29. Indiana's bench had 17, mm-hmm. so they're plus 12 there. Again, if Indiana's not firing on all those cylinders, they're going to have to make all the crucial plays down the stretch. You saw that. Down 8 points, they get it to 2 with the ball. They had to make every single play, miss every single free throw, mm-hmm. get every single rebound, and they did a good job of that, but that hole is too deep. You can't expect that every night. And then the Purdue game. Similar to the Duke game, 75-75 with Duke 5 minutes to go, finishes 91-81.
Yep.
6 points in the final 5 minutes. Last night at 65-64 with the ball after a turnover, I think it was, strip in the lane. And you go your next 3 possessions, you don't score
mm-hmm.
at 65-64, and you finish 74-67. So, 65-64, 4 minutes to go. So, last 4 minutes of the game at home, you only get 3 points. You only got 6 against Duke. If you're not executing down the stretch, that other 26 minutes and 50 seconds you led at Illinois, that's great. But when you get into winning time, that's what was strange against Illinois, because that was a situation Indiana was playing pretty well in those last 5 mm-hmm. minutes. Duke gets you. I get all that. But Indiana had been on the road against Minnesota. That was a great example of getting that done. That was the frustrating part against Illinois. Yes, that team was in a mood. They were we're so close, we can taste it. I get all that. But when you get 29 free throws and shoot 57% on the road, those are 2 things you would hope would put you over the finish line. But when your star guard, senior guard, gets 2 second-half points, you know, that makes it tough. Josh Newkirk played 12 minutes and scored 2 points. So those are 2 guys you rely on. And if they don't fire, then somebody else has to pick up the slack. And that's asking a lot from a roster with guys that don't score.
Juwan Morgan in foul trouble late in the Purdue game. We'll talk about some possessions down the stretch of that game when we get back from the break. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. You're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Quick programming note, and it is quick. It's a quieter night, or quieter week, rather, at WGCL this week for our live broadcasts. But we do have high school basketball as normal. It's just on Thursday this week with all the girls' sectionals going on. The boys are moving their schedules around a little bit. And North goes over to Edgewood. 7:30 is tip-off and 7 o'clock is Chalk Talk Thursday night. And then on Saturday, we'll have Duke once again on the air. 11:45 pregame as they go up to St. John's. They've been playing that game somewhere, probably at the Garden, I imagine. But they've been playing them forever. And then on Sunday, it is the Super Bowl, number 52. 2 p.m. starts our coverage, and it goes for a long time because, as we all know by now, the Super Bowl coverage, it's a long set of stuff. So we got it all. Starting 2 o'clock, 6:30 is the kickoff.
And 7 days until Sunday, premiered last night, and it will continue every night at 10 p.m. where you'll have updates from Minnesota, the site of the Twin Cities. Super Bowl 52, the lovely U.S. Bank Stadium. That's only a couple of years old. That's why Minnesota has the Super Bowl. Teams arriving today, so you'll hear from all the participants. You'll have flashbacks to Super Bowls of great, just to get you hyped up, kind of get you caught up on the day's news if you miss it. So that's 10 o'clock, 7 days until Sunday, every night until Sunday.
And we've got Olympics coverage not too far off the horizon.
The Olympics
also
start on this. I Googled that this morning. I want to say they're the 5th through the 24th, but somewhere in there. Once the Olympics start, we'll have a nightly program, 10 o'clock every night as well. That's going to be weird because 10 o'clock at night over here, 13 hours difference there, so things will just be getting started in Pyeongchang.
The 9th through the 25th.
The 9th through the 25th. Yeah. There you go, 2 weeks. That makes more sense than 20 days. So we'll have you covered, the Winter Olympics nightly show on WGCL, and you can follow along through all that. Good luck to all the girls. Sectional basketball, that's why boys are on Thursday this week as they get started tomorrow night at Owen Valley for Edgewood and at East Central. North left yesterday for
that bit of a drive.
That's exactly. And you're the late game, so a little bit of a drive
good
home
times
for South. So it's South East Central tomorrow night. That's game two. Edgewood has to go to Owen Valley, who I think is ranked 5th in Class 3A. Really good outfit, too. North gets the bye. They would play the winner of East Central and South on Friday night. That is game two out there. And obviously, if North and South play on Friday night, we'll have one of our city schools in a championship game. And we hope Gary Sims and the Mustangs can pull the upset against OV on OV's home court. That's a very, very tall task. So good luck to all the girls going this week. And then we'll have the boys, as you mentioned, county matchup on Thursday. And heck, before you know it, it'll all March and February will evaporate before our eyes. But plenty of Big Ten action going on. Indiana's turnaround is quick again. It is Ohio State tomorrow night.
Yeah, rough.
There is no rest for the wicked. I've never remembered in all of our years doing the show together since, what, 2001 maybe? 2002. Oh, I know we did 2002 because we did the championship game from the old City Grill.
Mm-hmm.
I've never remembered Indiana playing first, second, third in 6 days, let alone in 2 weeks, mm-hmm. let alone 3 out of 4 games.
Yeah.
It's just a complete anomaly,
and
you just throw that into an already tight schedule. Now Colin Hartman is out indefinitely.
Right,
he has a lower leg deal, so a poor Colin comes back for a senior year and picks up 4 more injuries. It's just, you wonder.
And there's no word on when we might get him back, correct?
He's not going to play this week, is what the release said today.
Gotcha.
So, that's sad because this was a guy you were counting on for stability. This was a guy you were counting on to help in these tough situations if things weren't going right on the court, where he gives you another guy that knows how to make a stop, knows how to make a pass, knows how to make a proper decision. And you're playing shorthanded because he's just been injured, and there's nothing but unlucky about it. I mean, he's had a groin, he's had an ankle, he's had a shoulder and a harness.
I mean, at least it's a little bit of kind of a stop. I mean, I hate to say anything's little, but I mean, it's not his knee once again where he's out forever. You know,
where you lose
him
for the year, there's some hope in that. But he had the old stiff leg walk in his jacket, his suit coat, and his slacks. So I don't know. I mean, you know, I don't have X-ray vision anymore. They took that away from me. But it's just tough because it seems like once Indiana maybe gets over a hurdle like Maryland to get to 5 wins, you say, okay, build a little momentum, go to Illinois. You're going to have a dogfight. All games in the Big Ten are a dogfight. Steal that one. Sneak it out. And then you get these 1, 2, 3 in a row.
Right.
And maybe, just maybe, you found something. Just maybe the light bulb has gone on for somebody else. Just maybe you get another big performance somewhere you didn't expect it and could be in these. But I talked about this a little bit on Wednesday, not as much, but people are asking, it's Purdue, how are you going to beat Purdue? And I said, look, number one, it's a rivalry game, so let's just not write this down in pen that Purdue's going to come in here and win. Mm-hmm. Teams have pride. Indiana, it's a big game for Indiana. Don't forget that as well. It's one of the games the house is going to be packed and rocking. But one of the keys for that game was, before it started for me, was that had to be a night where you hit 13, 15, or 25, 27 threes.
You couldn't miss the freebies, and you couldn't miss you had to hit a couple.
Some
you had
shots
to get something.
To take the pressure off Morgan doing what he's been doing.
Yeah.
Because you can't go to him every time, especially when you've got physical Purdue. Guys, they know what's coming from Morgan. They're not just going to let him score, obviously.
Right. Right.
But there's just not that. You talk about when Illinois pressed and you heard about the pressure release. How are we going to release pressure? Mm-hmm. Well, you have to have a pressure release on offense as well. I mean, the times Indiana's the most effective is when they move the ball side to side and then they get Morgan and somebody's late trying to cover him.
Yeah.
And then when he gets somebody off balance, the show's over.
Forget about
curtains.
It. Mm-hmm.
So when Indiana's patient and those things happen, that's really good. But there has to be another way. The reason why that's important, if Indiana has somebody else going, somebody else is going, plural, then Morgan can sit and get a little bit of
a
break.
Right.
They don't have to have him in there on any play. And I know we're going to talk about some plays down the stretch, but the one that just made you – and Archie took full blame after. He said in his press conference, he said, hey, look, down the stretch, we had a couple chances. I didn't call a timeout. That's on me. Put it on me. Freddie McSwain hits the up and under.
Right.
Great shot.
I mean, incredible play.
Incredible shot.
Kid.
Down three.
Yeah.
65-64.
He came from the three-point line with the ball.
They come down and get a steal. And you're down one, and it's right at 3.5 minutes or so because the shot clock's 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And the five on the floor is Johnson, Newkirk, McSwain, McRoberts, and Smith.
Mm-hmm.
You got to call timeout to get Juwan Morgan in the game there. I don't care how tired he is.
Yeah.
At 65-64, you just make a huge play.
Went out with his fourth foul at 4 minutes and 44 seconds.
Right, this is a minute later.
This was 4:01 when Freddie hits the bucket.
They go down and make a steal.
They go down and make the steal. You're
come
exactly
back at
right.
3:30 and change, 3:33 mm-hmm. somewhere in there. You've got two or three timeouts at the time. Just like Coach Miller said, he said, yeah, I got to call timeout there. I got to call timeout down the stretch to set something. Because what happens? They move the ball. Guess who's going to shoot it? You know it's going to be Robert Johnson. The whole arena knows it's Robert mm-hmm. Johnson. Purdue knows it. Shot gets blocked out of bounds with 3 seconds on the shot clock. TV timeout.
Yeah.
So you come out of TV timeout with 3 seconds.
There's not much you can do there.
Who's going to shoot the ball?
Right.
Catch and shoot, tough one in the corner right in front of the bench.
Yep.
But that's one of those situational plays where
they came out of the timeout by putting Morgan back in.
They did, which was great.
Again,
you have to. It's winning time. You have to put him back in.
Yeah, here's my issue with some plays down the stretch, and it's on both ends because when you put Morgan in with four fouls,
let's talk about why they took him out first of all. You take him out there to get him the rest, to get him under the 4 minute
under
TV
the timeout. Sure.
Right. So that's what you're going to do.
Sure. But I mean, whatever it was, with him in the game with four fouls, you know one of a couple things. He's your only consistent offensive threat, and he's having a game.
Well, Johnson was good in that game.
Yes, he was. But I mean, just generally speaking, every night, you know he's bringing it every night, and he was once again here. And so he's having a game. On the offensive end, I mean, defense is where you're scared with him.
Defense is where you're scared.
Offense is where you better damn well get him the ball, in my opinion, if you're putting him back in the game at that point in time. And, of course, you do with 3 minutes left. But that's the point is he's got the four fouls. You want him to contribute in the way he can contribute because he can't really on defense. And yet for two or three straight possessions, they left him alone with Haas. In the block, I
think that was a good move,
and didn't double team him. Now I want to ask you about this because you got tape that was on the air before we went on the air of Archie saying that he wasn't happy with the trap in the post.
Yeah,
I thought that by that point in time they had adjusted to that better, but I was surprised with four fouls. I mean, not that Juwan Morgan can body him up any better. He's got to let Haas go to some degree, but why not give him help on the post on defense against Haas at that point in time, and then also not get him the ball, try harder to get him the ball on offense. One of those was a turnover, to be fair.
Two
on the
of
offensive
turnovers.
End. Well, to get the ball to Morgan. One of them, they were trying to get the ball to Morgan out around the three-point
line. The Newkirk pass was stolen.
Yeah.
But
there's at least
Johnson.
Two other possessions that at that point in time
there's
they didn't even try.
There's a simple reason why Morgan plays Haas there for me. And I don't think anybody asks Coach Miller this.
But I'm asking why not double? I mean,
because
you've been doing it all day long. Why not do it there?
Two reasons why. Number one, you play Morgan on Haas in the post because of one thing. Haas has two moves. He's going to turn right or he's going to turn left.
Right.
You get there, you get your hands up. If they put him on Vince Edwards, they're mm-hmm. going to go to Edwards on the wing. He's going to take him off the dribble. You have more likely chance of fouling.
Right.
You can reach. You can get out of position. Haas is a Cessna aircraft carrier.
Yeah,
you can get there, get your hands up.
If you put McRoberts on him or somebody like that or Smith, right. I mean, he's going to score just as easily, but why not double team?
And he was killing from the free throw line, so you didn't want to foul him anyhow. You wanted him to miss a little – he missed a couple bunnies in that game.
Yeah, sure.
He missed a bunny right before Freddie McSwain's up and under layup from – this inches, yeah, 4 inches
question,
away.
No question.
So you take your chances with that for two reasons, and you don't double for this. Those guys that you told me shoot 44%, you're down one, they hit a three, you're down four. They hit a two, you're down three. It's math.
Yeah.
Simple math.
Yeah.
So you're going to take your chances. You hope Morgan, who's
you hope
smart,
Morgan doesn't foul.
Well, that's fine. Who's got the longest
reach
of them all.
He's good about that.
And you hope Haas goes too quick, gets travels 3 seconds, anything, and misses. You go double them. Haas makes another good pass. They make two more passes, and there's Carson Edwards at the top of the three for three, and now you're down four. It's a math game.
You have always told me, though,
math
and
game.
I want to ask you about this because I'm with you there. You've always told me, which do you want to give up, the easier one or the harder one?
Right.
So we were willing to give up the easier one because of the one less point.
I think so.
Because they're that good at three.
44%, but one of the best in the country. I think from a math standpoint, and again, this is me. This is nothing with Indiana basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Archie Miller has not answered or been asked these questions.
No, I mean, he took a good bit of blame on himself on it.
He did, and I think that was for the offensive positions because I think they got it right defensively because Haas just missed the bunny. He just missed one.
I think with the way they were not hitting their three-pointers,
right.
I was looking for a double team
to
help Morgan out. I'd be okay with sticking Morgan down there if he's got two or three fouls. I'd be okay with taking your chances there because Morgan can body him a little bit more.
What did Archie tell you in the post-game? Our post-double teams weren't very good.
Yeah.
And the reason why they weren't is guys got lost on shooters.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not worried about the open three-pointer is deadly with a team that shoots it that well and a team that makes the extra pass. They don't have one guy they're looking for. All four of those guys can shoot. Once that ball
they're
goes
really
ping, ping around the perimeter, you get somebody in a rhythm, catch and shoot. Now you're down four.
Yeah.
That, to me, didn't work out. Well, it didn't work out either because Haas made a play. And you know what? Great teams ranked third in the country are going to make plays on the road. So I didn't think it was terrible situational. The tough part was coming back down the court. When Indiana's down, 67-64, that's Josh Newkirk jumping the air pass that gets stolen by 5'8" P.J. Thompson. That's a tough play. That's a play a senior guard you're expecting to be in the moment, under control, knowing the situation. That's where Archie took the blame. He said, hey, I got to get us in something better than that.
Yeah.
I got to use a timeout and get it set up. Because, as you mentioned, Juwan Morgan didn't touch the ball. The intent was to go to Morgan.
That was the intent on that play.
You can't have intent there. You have to
make
that happen.
You have to get it to him.
And it has to be calm, not up in the air. What am I going to do with it?
And with four fouls, I'm not sure I want him to have to drive on that play.
But he had Haas with him on the perimeter there. So that's a matchup they were looking at. But it never got to that point. And that was the tough part. And so what's Purdue do? They go down and make you pay again. Now it's, 69-64?
Mm-hmm.
And then you come down and dribble. Robert Johnson catches it in traffic, throws it off his foot, dribbles off the other guys, whatever it was, and you never got to that spot. So that was a tough finish. In winning time, Purdue's defense, which it hasn't been as great as it's been in other years because they have a lot of guys that can score, but, you know, P.J. Thompson didn't give you a whole lot of them that night.
No.
Well, what's he do? He jumps up and makes a huge play when he needs to make it. So there was about three possessions there in a row that Indiana didn't say, hey, let's get a timeout. Let's sit down and get our – let's find our best play to Morgan.
Right.
And we've seen a lot of those out of timeouts.
They can do that. Sure.
And a lot of them out of TV timeouts and just one quick hit or whatever it was going to be. And that margin of error just shrank and shrank and shrank. And the Hoosiers, again, didn't get those shots off and didn't have a chance to win. And that's the tough part because you had basically the three guys you wanted with the ball in those situations, two senior guards, and it just didn't come off.
Yeah.
I don't think the play design was bad. Newkirk's trying to get into transition, trying to force them to help and then kick it out to him.
Yeah.
And Thompson guessed. He knew where Morgan was, and he went with the pass.
Kid made
a great
play. I mean, they said on the TV you can make a different pass there, and that's totally legit. I mean,
yeah.
You could wrap around to bounce pass.
Not when you're in the air. When you're in the air, you're sold out.
Yeah.
And guess who's the next wave of defense?
It's tough.
7'2" coming at you.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're probably brain's thinking a little bit quicker, and I think that's why Archie was frustrated because he calls timeout after that basket. Now we can set up. Let's take a deep breath.
Right.
When we come down, if they're going to jump this screen, here's how we're going to move this. Here's how we're going to do that. But you have to you practice. We don't know what they practice. We don't know how they practice late game situations. It might be we don't call timeout here because they're expecting timeout. So we're going to try to get them on the back foot, waiting for them to get timeout, and we're going to rush at them. And if we don't get a quick hitter, then we'll call timeout with 24, 23 and come over and talk about it.
I'm
fascinated in those situations.
I know.
I'd love to be in the huddle to hear what goes on because it's so easy for a fan to say, oh, what are you doing?
Well,
that's part of it. You don't know what they're doing.
I had far less problem with not taking a timeout than I did with not working harder to get Juwan Morgan touches with four fouls down the stretch on the offense and at the same time not helping him out on defense. Because, again, he was a turnstile on Haas for two straight possessions.
He was.
Now, I get everything you're saying there. I mean, I understand why you do that.
Pick your poison.
I don't have a problem with him playing Haas. Yep. You've played him on Haas all night long, but you've also helped him quite a bit.
Yep.
And you know, that's the point with four fouls right there, because you have to have him on the offensive end.
Yep.
You have to have him on the offensive end. So you cannot have him get the foul by singling up right there and having Haas draw.
He's the toughest guy Haas is going to shoot over.
Give him credit for not fouling. I mean, he was a bit of a turnstile there.
He didn't need to foul him.
But he didn't do something stupid to make it even worse.
And the other play was in that was a rebound that was just wrong side where Haas got inside position. There was nothing anybody on the floor was going to do about that.
Out-rebounded Purdue.
Yeah,
one. Held him on the free pointer. We just didn't get anything offensively that was kind of special.
How many threes did IU hit?
What, five, six?
I don't know.
I think it was six.
I don't think it was
six. No, it's not three, sorry.
See, there you go.
Yeah, 3-16.
You only get nine there in a game where it's a big part of the game.
0-7 in the second half. That's when Purdue had a 9-point edge on you in the second half. We've got to take a quick break. 812-333-2665 is our phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Programming note for you, and again, it's a little light during the week here. We had a very busy week last week, but this week a little less. But we do have Thursday night high school basketball with North heading over to Edgewood. 7:30 is tip-off, and Chalk Talk is 7 o'clock on Thursday. Again, the girls play their sectionals on Tuesday, Friday, and Saturday, so they're clearing some room mostly for the boys. The boys play Thursday night here on WGCL. On Saturday, we'll have Duke at St. John's. 11:45 a.m. is the pregame for that game. And then on Sunday, it is Super Bowl Sunday. 2 p.m. starts our coverage, and kickoff is 6:30. So we'll be with you for hours and hours of coverage on Sunday. And you mentioned the 7 days to Sunday.
Tonight,
and
every
that is
night.
10 o'clock or 11 o'clock?
10 o'clock.
10 o'clock.
Get you caught up on all the day's events. Obviously, the team's arriving this afternoon, so plenty of media and stuff going on. I didn't know this. I saw on the NFL Network in the afternoon, I was just buzzing channels, they have a countdown clock in the top left-hand corner. It says it was counting down till opening night.
Oh.
I didn't know Monday night was opening night of Super Bowl week, but if they're going to make it a week-long celebration, sure. You might as well have. I think there's some kind of media. It sounded like the Patriots were pulling into their hangar, and then they were going to go to the hotel, then they were going to go here for their media. So maybe it's media for them, and then tomorrow for them, then both for I don't know. I just want to watch the football game.
Right,
on Sunday.
Exactly.
It's
a little crazy.
Well, they're not going to answer any questions you want answered.
Yeah.
They're not going to tell you about their game plan. They're not going to tell you about any injuries.
It's a boondoggle for radio guys like you and me that have a lot bigger budgets than they can spend all week there interviewing ex-players.
Well, you get all the ex-players because they're all hawking a product.
Yeah,
that's exactly right. So it's something. The Mall of America hosting Radio Row this year. I thought that was interesting. Get some Chick-fil-A in between segments there.
812-333-2665 is our phone number. Talking IU basketball, another quick turnaround. They played yesterday at home against Purdue. After losing last Wednesday at Illinois, now they've got to go to Ohio State tomorrow night.
You know what Ohio State's been doing for the last 4 days?
Sitting around
and wondering how Tony Carr's 40-footer bank three-pointer upset them at home on their home court.
It was a tie ball
against
game
Penn
going
State.
It was a
tie ball game.
Yeah.
Penn State was up 12 with 5 minutes to go.
Yeah.
Kata Bates Diop hit two parking lot threes to make it tied.
Oh, yeah, the tie ball game. Well, that was from the center circle,
goodness,
I think.
And he's two steps inside a half court on the good side and banks home the winner over a double team. This was not a wide open, let's see what
he can
do.
There are two guys out there.
Kata Bates Diop, the big star for Ohio State, is leading the league in everything this year, it seems like. He hits a 26-foot fadeaway with a hand in his face to tie it before that. Penn State, no timeout, right up the court, banks open. Penn State wins. They beat Ohio State. They fall from the ranks of the unbeaten. So they were tied with Purdue. Now they're just in second place at, what, 9-1, 8-1, whatever it is. One loss, Boilers, no losses, and Michigan State has two losses. That's the opponent on Saturday. Michigan State was down 13, 37-24 at Maryland yesterday, came back and won, showed some grit and some fight in the second half. Michigan State's got other problems that we don't have time to get into today. But those are your next two opponents for Indiana basketball.
Yeah, you get Michigan State here at the very least, and for one of the few times
that's
here recently.
That's an 8:15 game. That's actually been announced. That's an ESPNer, that's a big like night it. On all Saturday right. night.
Well, and you actually get, you know, all day Saturday in addition to 3 days off. That seems that unusual does,
you know
in
what,
this stretch.
That, they'll take it. They'll take it right now. Because
anything they can get.
Because you're going to be bruised and battered. The 7 games in 17 days, I think, was the number when it was all stretched out, and I think that takes you through Rutgers maybe, or maybe it's through Minnesota, but just a brutal stretch. And Indiana had their easy part of the schedule in the beginning of January. They played on the 9th, they played on the 14th, and they played on the 19th. That was their 3 and 10 days, and you mm-hmm. think, well, that's just kind of normal. Well, that was the slow period,
yeah.
And now the avalanche comes with it. And Indiana has shown you against Duke – has shown you against Purdue mm-hmm. that at home, big teams, they're okay with.
Yeah.
The next step is taking the show on the road against a pretty good team.
That's always the hard part.
Well, it was because we remember it wasn't a good time for them, but when they went to Michigan earlier in the year,
yeah.
they got off to some kind of an atrocious start like they did last year. It was 24-7 or something ridiculous. Football score there to get started. But this is why not having the three-pointer is so tough. Not having it meaning not making very many of them, because you have to get so many twos and so many stops. You don't have that little guy that can knock down three threes in a row and get you a 9-point run instead of a 6-point run. And that's huge.
Let me ask
you
a question, though. This is two straight games. Now, Illinois is one of them, so I want to be careful here. This is two straight games where one of the worst – 3-point defensive percentage teams in the nation, Indiana University,
had a great one.
Had two good defensive efforts,
really good
defensive efforts around the arc against Illinois, who's not great, but Purdue is one of the best in the nation at it.
Yeah.
So there have been some things that you have seen at various times during the course of the year where you've seen an almost 180.
Is pretty good.
Well, you've seen almost a 180 out of this team on certain aspects. You know, the turnovers were bad early, and some of the shot selection was bad early. That stuff has turned around. I mean, they had 18 at Illinois. That's a healthy or skelter team that forces you into those, but it was only 10 against Purdue, who's a very good defensive team.
Couple late that hurt, but yes.
So is this 3-point defense, do you think this is something that has made a turnaround, or is that just a product of a big home game and a cruddy team before that? Or, you know, is that something you go to Ohio State and you say, this is something that Indiana's got on the improvement, stretch, if you will?
I think it is improving because it has to. So many teams shoot the three. It's not a team that you can just say, you don't go into a game and say, well, these guys don't shoot threes.
Right.
It's just part of defense now. It's a specific defense because the point counts for another shot, or the shot counts for another point.
Indiana's 297th in 3-point percentage defense.
Yeah.
That's an improvement.
It is.
They were in the 330s or something like that not that long ago. And the last two games have helped immensely.
And there was two things that we said earlier in the year that was going to make Indiana's defense better. Ball pressure is one, and if guys are pressuring the ball out at the 3-point line, things are going to stop like that. And if you're putting pressure on the ball, and if you're aware of where shooters are, and that's just doing – it's better drills, it's better everything, knowing the guys that can – if guys that are really good shooters aren't knocking them down because you have a hand in their face, well, that's because you're doing something. If teams are out there missing wide-open threes, that's one thing. Maybe that's the other team. But, yeah, it's definitely a defensive awareness. It's finding guys in transition. It's knowing the situation. Hey, if I've got help behind me, I can probably rush this guy if he wants to go around it. We've got guys that are going to dig in and help. So, yeah, I think it is positive to a degree. But you can't have a two-game stretch and say, whew, got that taken care of.
Right.
It has to be a constant battle of fighting good versus evil and keeping into that. There's a couple things. We used to see even Robert Johnson, Devontae Green, Josh Newkirk would run and jump at three-point shooters, like physically in the air. You don't see that anymore. They've put a stop to that.
Terry Stultz is certain that Ohio State is a fraud. I look at their schedule. There's a couple games that impress me, but the rest not so much as far as who they were playing early in the season. Fraud? Are they for real? I mean, they're 9-1.
They have a lot of guys punching above their weight. I think that's accurate.
Yeah.
Andrew Dockage has made 13-21 threes. You better know where he's at in your three-point defense. Kata Bates is knocking them down, the big boy in the middle. They have some pieces. They're firing. And it's amazing what a little confidence can do.
Yeah.
Confidence gets a team that wasn't picked to be very good or do anything. They're doing something. Holtman knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
So, no, it's interesting. Can they win at Ohio State? Yeah. I don't think Indiana goes anywhere and says, oh, geez, Maybe Michigan State.
Maybe Michigan State. Maybe Purdue if we played there, but we don't.
We don't. So get out. It's a rivalry game, though. This isn't. Yeah. Get out there and play hard. Good things can happen.
Hey, folks, music means we got to head on out of here. We'll be back Wednesday. So tune in then. We'll talk about IU and their visit to Ohio State that night. You've been in the zone.